This morning we're going to examine the theme in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, that Jesus understands our tears. How wide is the gap between us and the edge, for example, of the observable universe? The numbers are mind-boggling. However, there's an even bigger, an infinite gap between human beings and an overwhelmingly holy God. We need a priest, someone who will stand in that gap between sinful human beings like us and a holy God, a great high priest who bridges that gap and who understands us fully, understands even our tears. We need Jesus, the great high priest of the people of God. Now, the congregation that first received this letter was struggling with the temptation to think that there was something better than Jesus. Their specific temptation may be different from our temptation, but our own hearts are also constantly tempting us to think that there's something better than Jesus, that we can live a fuller life apart from Jesus, that there's ultimate satisfaction better than Jesus, that living for this world is more fun and better than living for Jesus. So we really need to hear what the author of Hebrews is saying to us today. The Bible puts three things about the Lord Jesus Christ before our eyes in these verses, three truths that we desperately need to hear. The first is the ascension of Jesus. Jesus' ascension means his return to heaven in glory, following his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection from the dead. This is how the author of Hebrews puts it for us in our reading this morning in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Notice the contrast. Our high priest is Jesus, the Son of God. It is boldly affirmed here that our Lord Jesus Christ is a divine priest. He is the very Son of God. As Bishop Moule said, a saviour not quite God is a bridge broken at the farther end. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just pass through the curtains of an earthly Holy of Holies that represented the symbolic presence of God. Our great high priest has passed through the heavens into the immediate presence of God the Father. In other words, the author of Hebrews is saying this: Jesus knows how to get you to God. Why are you listening to this message today? Surely you are listening today because you want to get to God and to be right with God. The author of Hebrews is saying Jesus didn't just symbolically go into a room that represents the presence of God. At his ascension, when he returned to heaven, he went into the presence of a thrice holy God. He is there in the presence of God the Father in heaven, and he knows how to get you there too. Don't we all want to get one day into the presence of God in heaven? Don't we all want a heavenly home? Our heavenly home is with God, and only Jesus knows how to get us there. This theme is similar to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was talking to his disciples before his death on the cross, explaining that he was getting ready to leave them. The disciples were upset. They said, "Jesus, we don't want you to go away." What did Jesus say to them? Listen to these words of Jesus in John chapter 14, as he explains to the disciples why he must go away, why he must return to heaven. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" It's as if Thomas was saying, "Wait a moment, I don't understand this. Jesus, I don't understand. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know how you're getting there. How can we know the way?" Then the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You hear what Jesus is saying? He's saying, I can get you to God, right with God. I can get you to your home in heaven, but no one else can get you there. So trust in me. So the first truth we hear here is the ascension of Jesus. The second truth we hear is what is called the session of Jesus. The session of Jesus Christ. The Apostles' Creed puts it like this: "I believe in Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven," that's what we've just been thinking about, "and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty." Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's his session. That's what session means, that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Now that session, the Bible is telling us, is really important for us. Jesus is not sitting down taking a rest. He's at work for us. What is he doing? He always lives to make intercession for us. He prays for us. That's why that hymn that we sang earlier was such a great hymn to sing. "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea. And listen, a great high priest, Jesus, whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me." Notice how the hymn writer puts it: pleads for me, strongly urging, pleading, begging, asking God, praying for his people. Christian, never forget that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you. He's interceding for you at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. In our church Bible studies, we recently looked at the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Stephen lays down his life for Jesus and the gospel. He's surrounded by people full of manic hatred who think they're doing God a favor by killing him. We might think that Stephen is there all alone. But Stephen sees the heavens opened. And there is the scene of Jesus in his heavenly session. But in Acts chapter 7, Jesus is not sitting down. Stephen looks up and he sees Jesus, the Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. Why is Jesus standing? Well, what is the main posture for prayer in the Bible? Standing up with arms outstretched to God. When Moses, for example, was interceding for the people of God as they fought their enemies in the Old Testament, Moses was standing up, interceding for them. So here, as Stephen was about to die, he looked up to heaven and he saw his Saviour, Jesus, interceding, praying for him. Listen to how Charles Wesley describes this in his hymn, "Arise, my soul, arise, shake off your guilty fears." Do you have guilty fears this morning? Guilty fears. You know there are areas of your life where you're not right with God. You need a Saviour. And this Saviour, Charles Wesley says, "he ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead. His blood atoned for this our race, and sprinkles now the throne of grace." That is what Jesus is doing for all who trust in him, for his people, interceding for them. But it's vital for you to understand this morning that as the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for his people, he understands us. He understands our tears. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is amazing. We have been told that Jesus is God. We've also been told that he's without sin. Yet at the same time, we are told that he understands us. God in the flesh, completely without sin, understanding our weaknesses, understanding our temptation, understanding our tears. Just let that sink in. Your God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, knows what it's like to live in your shoes. He knows your tears. He knows your weaknesses experimentally because he took on our nature. It's mind-boggling that this can be said. But what an incredible help this is. The one to whom you cry out in your time of need when you pray actually understands you. Yes, he understands your tears. You know what it's like when you're feeling sick. You're in bed and you're feeling really rough. Then a person who's fit and healthy, full of life and vigour, bounces in, comes to see you. Do you say to yourself, boy, this person full of life and vigour, he really understands me in my sickness? No, we don't think that. But the author of Hebrews is saying, the sinless Son of God, he understands you. He understands exactly what it's like to live where you are at. Now you might say to me, how can that be? How can you say that Jesus understands my tears? Well, Isaiah the prophet tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Do you understand that? He came to take on our griefs, our sorrows, our tears. And now he has taken that reservoir of his experiences here on earth to heaven in his ascension. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus Christ has experienced temptations that we cannot really understand. Greater temptations than we have ever experienced. The issue is not so much that we say, Jesus, you really don't know what it's like to be like us. The issue is more that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, through the writer of Hebrews, well, actually, you don't know what it's like to be me. Because Jesus has experienced temptations, griefs, and sorrows more than anyone else in the history of the whole world. That gives him tremendous empathy with his people. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the sweat of the Lord Jesus Christ became like great drops of blood falling to the ground as he wrestled with his Father's will that he should lay down his life on the cross as the curse bearer for the sins of his people. He prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. But the answer from heaven was no. And Jesus prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I'm saying Jesus withstood the pressure of temptation beyond anything that anyone else has ever experienced. Think of it this way. A bar of steel might have a tensile strength that can withstand 40,000 pounds of force per square inch. But above that force, the steel buckles. A bar of tungsten carbide is about twice as strong as steel and might withstand 100,000 pounds of force per square inch. But above that force, even the tungsten carbide buckles. But here's a bar of metal forged in the divine human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, 40,000 pounds of force is applied. 100,000 pounds of force is applied. Infinite force is applied. But the divine human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ does not buckle a fraction of an inch under the force of that most tremendous pressure of temptation. Which bar of metal withstood the greater force? Which knew the greater testing? Only the one that never buckled can know the full extent of the force that was applied to it. Do you think that Jesus can't understand you? He understands you better than you understand yourself. The brokenhearted, the sorrowing, the abused, the lonely, the isolated, the friendless, the victim of domestic violence, those struggling with all sorts of temptation, the misunderstood. The author of Hebrews is saying, the one who is interceding for you in heaven, you trust in him, this Saviour. He knows your tears. He wept at the graveside of his friend. He knows what it's like to live with your weakness. He knows what it's like to be tempted and tested to an infinite extent. My friend, the Bible can tell you most clearly this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ understands you. As you're looking for that person who gets you, and even though they get you, they still love you. Are you looking for that person in life? My friend, you desperately need that. And the author of Hebrews is saying that only Jesus, the sinless Son of God, can give that to you in his sovereign grace. The author of Hebrews is saying that Jesus, whoever lives to intercede for his people, he gets you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Let's remember that this great high priest who intercedes for us is also the great high priest who suffered for us. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross, we sometimes focus on his physical sufferings as the point of extremity in his experience. The pain of being nailed to a cross. The death of the cross. Now, I don't want to downplay that for a moment. But the horror of the cross was not at its peak in the area of the physical. The horror of the cross was that on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was accursed by his Father as he bore the sins of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the Prince of Peace, he bore the punishment of his Father for all the sin of the world. He felt and bore the weight of the wrath of God. The Bible focuses on that point in these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he, God the Father, made him who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was cast out. He was banished. He was cut off on the cross. He was excommunicated. He was cast out to that place where there was no light or love or life or peace or meaning or hope or assurance of ultimate victory. He became a curse for us at the cross. And it was all for us. And in our blackest hours and our darkest nights, in our times when sorrow and trouble seem to overwhelm us, we have a great high priest who prays for us, and none of us has been to the depths that the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear. But we believe it was for us. He he hung and suffered there. The ascension of Jesus. The session of Jesus, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And then thirdly and finally, the assistance of Jesus. The writer of Hebrews tells us, let us therefore, he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen to Martin Luther's rendering of the end of Psalm 130. Though great our sins and sore our woes, his grace much more aboundeth. His helping love no limit knows. Our utmost need it soundeth. Our kind and faithful shepherd he, who shall at last set Israel free from all their sin and sorrow. That's exactly what we need. And the author of Hebrews is saying, Jesus provides it. His helping love will provide exactly what you need in your utmost need. And at the last, he will set you free from all your sin and sorrow. When you're in your greatest extremity of need, his helping love reaches the depths of that need. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. And out of his infinite riches in Jesus, the Lord assists his people. Now, he may not come exactly at the moment you feel you want him, but he is always on time. Sometimes you may think he's left you hanging by your very last thread. And then he shows up, and it's just when you need it. Just how you need it. Just what you need. The author of Hebrews is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly when to intervene and assist. Jesus is ready to give you the grace and the mercy you need to assist you. To assist you in every time of need. And all of this is designed to lead us to these responses. Let us hold fast our confession, verse 14. Because we have a great high priest who sympathizes with us, let us hold fast our confession. The point is, don't stop trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's enormous pressure on us to give up our faith, to give up on believing, to stop trusting in Jesus. The world certainly is not going to help you to believe, to trust in Jesus. So let me ask you, have you made a confession of faith, trust in Jesus Christ? I mean, it's Sunday morning, or you may be listening later, but you're listening to this message on YouTube. Have you made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you testified that Jesus is your personal saviour? Have you cried out to Jesus to save you from your sins? Have you asked that his blood shed on the cross would cleanse you? Have you made a profession of faith? The goal of Hebrews is not only that you would make that initial profession of faith, but then also that you would hold fast to that profession of faith, that you'd hold it just as firmly now, this morning, as the day when, with tears in your heart, you first trusted in Jesus and asked him to be your saviour. And if you don't yet trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your saviour, his greatness extends to you this morning in his great love, mercy and grace. If you cry out to him from your heart this morning, you will obtain mercy. You can find grace this morning to help you in your hour of need. Yes, we are living at a time of great need with this coronavirus pandemic, but whatever your need this morning, cry out to Jesus. He will not turn you away. And then there's also this: let us come boldly to the throne of grace. What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to all of us? He's saying, pray.